Well, about time. You guys are tired of us by now, right? We'll start over in Acts 14 here in just a second to say a couple things. We're going down for 6 weeks, and this is something we've been praying on since we got here. I originally thought, 2 weeks and we'll be back in Mexico.
Yeah.
2 months. Okay, 2 months. No, okay, we'll be 2 years. We'll be 2 years in August.
Yeah.
And first off, I'd just really like to say thank you, Pastor McDaniel and Miss Ellen, for your love, your friendship, looking out for us. You got a special pastor because he's willing to listen to God. He's not perfect, but he's trying. And I appreciate a man like that. And I just want to say thank you to you guys as well.
Yes.
From the kids all the way up to the adults for being patient with our family and just loving on us. Being friendly. We have some friendships that we never would have had if this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And so we really appreciate you guys. It will be a bittersweet thing for us. It'll be very sweet to finally see home.
Yes.
What we consider home.
Yes. Sure.
And, you know, some people might ask, man, I haven't even really seen Sarah. How's it going to work? By faith.
Amen.
100% by faith.
Yes,
this is
sir.
Something that we've been praying on for a long time. And the Lord has always just said, nope. Nope, nope, nope. And about 3 months ago, the Lord said, yep. And I'm like, are you sure? are you positive on this? Yep, get yourselves ready. And she has been pretty weak the last few weeks with these specific treatments. I've explained it, I'm sure. But, you know, just a lot of this is opening up nerves, resetting of nerves, because it's all nervous system, neurological stuff. And these last ones really just been wiping her out. And so we would be backed off a week ago expecting this week to be recovered. And she's still a little weak, and so we definitely would covet. I don't know if I would say covet, but ask you to pray for us for the travel day on Tuesday morning. We'll be headed out of here at 4:30 in the morning. And you know what? Honestly, if the Lord told us to go, it's going to be okay.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And after I get through this message, hopefully you see a little bit more of that.
Yes.
This message here is something the Lord just plopped on my heart. In Acts chapter 14, Paul has already been traveling around for quite some time, winning a lot of people to the Lord, starting many churches.
Right.
Man, it would have been awesome to be there and see that kind of stuff. I would have loved to have been on his circuit, if that's what you want to call it, like Luke and others, Timothy and Silas, and seeing the things that happened and how it all started. But here he comes back to Antioch in verse 26. He comes back to Antioch into the church, which sent him out. And it says in 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And what I want to give you tonight is something that, honestly, what the Lord has done with us. And I'm going to make it personal. I'm going to apply it to you guys. It's things that I know that God wants you to do. Things that I've seen in the last, since 2010, but before that, 2010 is when God called me. Things that I've seen God tell me and show me, and things that I know that God wants from you.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm going to use our life, our testimonies, to rehearse these things and show you that, hey, there's power in God.
Amen.
You don't have to worry. And even though we will at times. And when missionaries come in, that's what they ought to be doing. You guys should be excited. I love the pastor has missionaries flowing through here all the time, all year round.
Yes.
And you guys have a missions focus, and that's awesome. And so when they come in, you know, they're rehearsing things to you. You guys aren't necessarily their home church, but you're sending them out.
Right.
Right?
Yes,
your
sir.
Money going in that place sends these missionaries out.
Amen.
And so they're rehearsing back to you the things that your money and your prayers are going towards. Every time you pray for those missionaries, every time you drop money into that plate, hey, praise the Lord. It is effectually working, whether you believe it or not. And so three things that God wants you to, Let's go ahead and start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, grab 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to do it, guys. It's time to jump around. You know how I am.
Yes,
Isaiah 26, along with 2 Corinthians 1. Isaiah 26. This is something, these are some steps that you need to take. And you know what, I want to go ahead and pray real quick before I really get started and just ask the Lord to bless this. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ and just lift you up. And Lord, I thank you for your word and the truth in it. Oh, Lord, thank you that your promises are faithful.
Oh, yes.
Oh, praise you for it, Lord.
Yes.
I just have no idea. I know where I would be without you. Actually, I do know where I'd be. And so praise you for bringing me to the truth. And just tonight, honestly, I just ask that you'd be glorified and lifted up, Lord. You draw these hearts to you, Father.
Yes.
That you would work effectually in our hearts tonight.
Oh, yes.
We need you, so cast out any spiritual wickedness, cast out all the stray thoughts, and just get us centered around you, and I pray that you would work, Lord, and draw people to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And so it says here in Isaiah 26, it says in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Thou wilt keep him, it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength."
Yes.
And the first thing that God wants you to is God wants you to trust him.
Amen.
Amen. God wants you to trust
yes.
him. And you know, flipping over to 2 Corinthians 1 here, it's real easy to trust in God when things are going great.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yes,
hey, man, when the money's flowing in and everybody's got health and life is going down that road that we would call good,
yes.
It's real easy to trust God and say, praise you, you're so good, thank you, God. But you know what? Those aren't the times necessarily that God wants you to trust him, because those are easy times.
Yes, sir.
And look at here in 2 Corinthians 1 with Paul, he says in verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
Right.
But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead,
Amen.
Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And Paul, man, Paul went through it.
Yes,
sir. You read there in chapter 11 of this book, and Paul went through the deep of shipwrecks, and thrice he was beaten, 40 stripes minus one, so 39 whips of the lash from the Jews, and you know, robbers and perils in the country, and perils in the city, perils everywhere. I mean, he went through it. And right here in this verse, he's talking about Asia and what happened there. You just go to Acts chapter 16 and read what happened in Philippi. That was one of those times where they whipped him 39 times.
Right.
Now you just imagine yourself, for Jesus Christ, being strapped around something and then just whipping you.
Right. Yeah.
39 times.
Wow.
And beating you, him and Silas both. And then throwing you in the inner prison in some hard stocks with no gentleness about
yes,
it,
sir.
In a damp, danky dungeon. And what did they do? What did they do?
Right.
Man, they prayed God. They glorified him.
Yes, they did. Right.
They didn't do what I would have done. Oh, me, God, where are you at? What is going? What did I do wrong? Oh, I must have done something wrong.
Right.
I'm so sorry. No. Now this is where Romans 8:28 comes into play,
yes,
does
sir,
it not?
Right, yes.
Romans 8:28, we know
yes.
that all works together for good.
Yes.
To them that love God.
Yes,
all
right.
things work together for good.
Yes.
But is that what we say whenever we have the troubling times come?
That's right. It's good.
Do we say, thank you, Lord? You're working.
Yes,
And I know this is for good.
It's good.
And do we trust Him in those moments?
Amen.
And I hope you know, look in First Peter chapter 4, you know, God brings these troubles into our life for a reason.
Yes, sir. Right.
They are to help us.
That's right.
They are to draw us to Him. They are to comfort us as we see God in our lives. They are to glorify God. It says here in 1 Peter 4, chapter 12, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." What? And then the next verse, "But rejoice,
that's right,
inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." It is for the glory of God that these things come into your life, and it draws you to Him. And He starts showing Himself, Bible would say, manifesting Himself in your life.
Yes.
And I love that that little story there. I want to call it a story because you think it's a fable, but it's not. It's a true story.
Yes,
John chapter 9, where the Jesus and the apostles are walking by, and they see a blind man. You guys familiar with this story, I hope. And those apostles say, "Lord, who hath sinned, this man or his parents, that this man hath been born blind?"
Right.
Man, the brethren know best, don't they? When we see somebody suffering, what do we usually ought to... I know what's going on. I know what's going on there.
Yep,
they deserve it. They got some things going on.
Come on.
The brethren knows best, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ answering them said, "It is not this man that has sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in his life."
Yes, sir.
In him, it says.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do. The works of God be manifested in you.
Yes,
and then it glorifies God all the way around. In your life, you would trust Him more. The people would see what God is doing in your life. And God is glorified in it. I mean, it even says here verse 16, it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian," have you got some suffering going on because of your Christian walk, not because of your sin.
That's
amen.
Right.
"Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf."
That's right.
And God wants you to trust Him. So God is going to put you in some of these situations to help you learn how to trust Him.
And
here comes the first testimony. And so God called, and when God called me to go to the field, called us, I should say, I had a great career. I was making six figures. We were comfortable. We were in the church. We were serving. We were teaching kids. We loved it. I mean, life was going really good. We were on cloud nine because the Lord was doing some great things in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in the church. And so, I mean, we didn't need to go anywhere.
Right.
And so I had, a really good job. But then when it came time, years later, after studying everything, we hit the road on full-time deputation. What'd I do? Man, I did what anybody else can do. You save up a little nest egg, right? Right?
Right.
Hey, man, that's what we do in our power.
That's
just trying to set things aside, make it more comfortable, as he was talking about this morning. Convenience.
Yep.
Amen. And I had a few thousand dollars just sitting there. Okay, we're going to, go out this first month. No more work. And it'll be okay because we got this nest egg. And our first 4 months was in California. And no more nest egg. I don't know if you know how expensive it is over there in California. Gas, I think, right now is like $7 a gallon or something they're talking about. And we weren't staying in no Hiltons. We weren't eating at no sushi restaurants and all that. But I tell you what, after about 2 weeks, we found ourselves in $40 motels in Central California. Hey, man, if you never lived that life, you never lived. Kids, keep your shoes on, keep your clothes on, sleep on top of the blankets. That was life for weeks. And we got down to the end of the month, and how our mission board works, I think all of them work this way. They send missions, the money, once a month at the beginning of the month. So here we are at the end of the month, and I am way more excited than I should be to, yes, we need some money. Oh, man, I'm tired of these Roach Motels. I'm tired of Dollar Burgers. And we got a whopping $426.
Right.
Wow.
Glory,
hallelujah. For 31 more days. $426 living on the road. How in the world are we going to do this? And so about a week in, I had it lined up. We had meetings and everything. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to reserve our hotels. I know we're going to be down in that area. So I reserved two nights of hotels. We ate dollar burgers. Literally, we put sandwiches together in the van and ate sandwiches for, just some basic Oscar Mayer and bread.
Right.
And ate sandwiches for lunch. And then we ate a dollar burger for dinner. And let's go to bed in this Roach Motel. And here about 2 weeks later, it's like, what are we going to do, God? We don't have any money. All of our money literally went to the two nights of hotel and the last little bit of food. In 2 days' time, Lord, we are done. And that week, we're sitting there. It's like our fifth night at Wendy's eating dollar burgers. And have I told this testimony? Maybe to some individuals. And I'm sitting there. My kids were sitting there. They were laughing. And my wife with them, they're having a glorious time at Wendy's. And I was sitting there. I was loaded down, and I was trying to do my power, guys. That's what we do. And God is going to bring you to the end so you can learn how to trust Him. And I was sitting there, and I was in misery thinking, what in the world are we doing? Why are we doing this, God? Where are you at? And I just got up and walked out of the restaurant because I didn't want to start crying and raging in front of my kids. Went out to the car and just hucked my cell phone and had a little coming to Jesus meeting. And about 20 minutes later, I went back in with a fresh face and said, amen, let's go. It's time to go back to the hotel. It's nighttime, and I was talking to my wife, and she's like, my wife, way more godly than me. She just reached over and was like, honey, it's going to be okay.
That's right.
I know. I know it is.
Christ.
And she's like, well, what are we going to do, though? I don't know. And this is what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do nothing.
That's right.
Because we can't do anything. I was looking at newspapers for work. I mean, in Central California, man, just put me in a field and let me work for a week. Nope, nothing. And so I said, we're not going to do anything. Don't talk to anybody. Don't call anybody. Don't answer any phone calls because I know what's going to happen if we do. I know people are going to ask. And we're going to stay silent, and we're just going to pray for the next 2 days. And
I'll
tell you what, if God does not provide, we're going home, because God's not in this. And so that's what we did. We sat in the hotel and did homeschooling, and I studied and did what I was supposed to be doing, and 2 days passed, and nothing. Wake up in the morning, I pray, and it's like, okay, God, this is the day. And I bet you it wasn't 10 minutes after I got done praying, I got a phone call from my missions board director, and he's like, hey, brother, how you guys doing? Oh, we're doing great. Doing wonderful. And he's like, oh, okay, good. I received a love offering and for you guys, and just wanted to see if you wanted it now or if you just want to wait till the end of the month. And I was like, oh, last week, please. And he's like, well, okay, I can get it to you today, And I said, oh, praise God. It's like, well, how much? And he's like, oh, I think it's like $2,500. Woo! Oh, thank you, God. And my phone was sitting over there as I'm running laps, just yelling. He's like, God provided, man. You can trust God.
Yes.
It's going to be okay. And God puts you in that moment because He wants you to trust in Him.
Yes,
stop trusting in your parents. Stop trusting in your friends. Stop trusting in your ability.
Amen.
Stop trusting in your work and your little nest eggs that you're building.
That's right.
Trust in God.
Amen.
That's what God wants you to do.
That's right.
God wants you to trust in Him.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Amen. Get me a little excited thinking about that.
Good.
Especially if that's going here pretty soon. I need that. Let's look over here in John chapter 4 for the next thing God wants with you. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 46 here. It says, you with me? So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum.
Yes.
When he had heard that Jesus came out of Judea into Galilee, that's a lot of Spanish coming out. It says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. They said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down here, my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now watch what it says here. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him.
Right.
And he went his way. You know the next thing God wants you to do? God wants you to believe the word that he has given you.
Right. Amen.
God wants you to put your faith in his word.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God wants you to have faith in him. God wants you to believe in him. God wants you to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is going to work in your life and do what he's asked you to do.
Right.
And we know all the great stories of Abraham and, you know, Naaman. Well, he kind of cried a little bit. Moses and, you know, David, all these great guys, great men of faith. But this guy right here, this nobleman right here, he's a man that you can relate to.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
His child is at the point of death.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we can relate to that. If you got children, now what do I do? Now, to mature your faith and your relationship with God, he's going to do some things like that.
Right.
Just like I talked about, where you're gonna learn to trust him, but he's also going to... He wants you to have faith in his word. Now, this guy right here, just to explain this a little bit more, getting ahead of myself there. So you notice in verse 47, he heard about Jesus and he heard that he came up to Galilee. And so what did he do? He besought him, man. He sought him out. I need this guy to come heal my son because there's nothing else that's going to. And Jesus even says in verse 48, except he sees signs and wonders, he will not believe. Why? What's the point? I can heal your son without going.
Right.
What he's expecting is everything that he heard is he comes down, he puts his hand on his son or does some miraculous thing, maybe spits in his face with a little bit of mud. He did that, did he not?
Yes. Right.
He does some crazy thing and he heals his son. I mean, he's expecting something.
Yes. Right.
But I don't have to do that. My word is enough.
That's right. Good.
My word is enough.
Glory to God. Yes.
And that's what God wants you to get the point to, where you trust in his word.
Yes, sir.
And now you watch, Jesus told him that, and the nobleman still said, can you please come down? And watch what Jesus said. He didn't say, yeah, I'm coming. No, he said, go thy way. Thy son liveth. And now this man had a choice right here.
Right.
He had a choice to be like, well, God obviously isn't in my life. I mean, all these things are happening. He's not answering. He's not working. There's no miracles. I mean, we're broke. And, you know, all these things that could happen, health problems, and get mad at God, get out of church, walk away from him.
Come on.
Or you can believe
That's right. What
Amen. He's given you.
Amen.
And this guy right here, it says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And if you watch, he goes back home, and his son lived. And it said there in verse 52, he's inquiring of, well, when did he start amending? When did he start getting better? And they told him, and so verse 53, read that with me. It says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and watch what it says, and himself believed. And his whole house. Hey, this is not just something for you personally, it is, but it's for your whole household. Your kids need to see this stuff. We were talking about it this morning. You need to train your kids. Do you realize what's coming? I mean, the time that we live in, it's not going to get any better, guys.
Right.
We live in a very cush Christianity today in America.
You're right.
And you get into any third world country, you'll see something a little bit different. But here we've had prosperity, and it's made us live in a lot of convenience.
That's right.
And if you want your kids to stick with God, you better not just raise them. You better train them.
Amen.
I remember the first time I told them, my family, they give me a lot of guff about the way we trained our kids, raised our kids, if that's what you want to call it. And then after some years, my whole family is like, wow, why are your kids so much better than all the rest? It doesn't come by nature.
Right.
I remember my mom one time was like, well, you're so blessed to have kids that good. And I told her, it's because we're training them.
There you go.
Oh, Adam, don't talk about it like they're dogs. You don't have to train them. That's what God tells us to do.
Right.
Hey, you do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Don't do what other people tell you to do. Trust me.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
But a lot of Christians, they get into this point right here where they got to they gotta have faith and believe what God has written them.
Good.
And I want to ask you, do you have that faith
right.
in what God has written us?
Right.
You know, I think about, look with me in Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes.
Just thinking about this off the top of my head. This verse, I love this verse. Ephesians chapter 3, it actually is at the very end. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly
yes.
above all
yes.
that we ask or think.
Right.
According to the power that worketh where?
In
us. Man, this power is in us. And he is able to do above everything, exceedingly higher than we think is capable of being done in our lives. Why? Verse 21, unto him be glory.
Yes.
And the church.
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that power is inside of you and God can work in your life to do those things that he wants you to do.
Right.
I'm going somewhere with all this when I get to my final point. I think it is verse here in Philippians chapter 4. How many
yes.
Christians really put this into action? Look with me. I want you to see these words.
Oh, yes.
This is something that you got to learn to have faith in.
Amen.
This isn't just some mumble jumbo,
right.
wave your wand type, you know, religious stuff. This is the real deal.
Amen.
It says here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing.
Yes.
That means don't be full of care. F-U-L-L.
That's right.
Stop worrying about everything.
Amen.
We all do it, but stop.
Right.
Be careful for nothing.
Amen.
You need to memorize this verse if you have anxiety issues.
Right.
It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That is very important right there. That is key.
Amen.
With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What does it say? And. You're not going to get this verse in verse 7 if you don't do verse 6.
That's right.
But this is a promise from God. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You got problems with your heart and your mind and all those. I get them at times. Oh, yeah. Right there.
Amen.
You memorize that verse. And you quote that verse every time you get those issues coming up.
Amen.
I tell you what, we are down in Mexico, and we had just moved to the area where we're currently at. And we didn't know anybody. We'd been there maybe a month, two at the absolute most. We knew it, just a handful of like two or three families, people, whatever, that were in the church that we were starting. We didn't even know who they were. and what happened? Our oldest son got appendicitis. We didn't know where doctors were. We didn't know there was a hospital in town. We didn't know nothing. All I knew was the grocery store and the gas station. That was about it because we were just trying to get kind of set up. The hardware store. Got to know where the hardware store is.
Yes, sir.
Everything is going to be on you. And so our son got really sick and just very lethargic. And we found a doctor. And down there you go to their house. We go to this lady's house and she checks him. I don't think it's appendicitis. I think he's okay. Well, by that night, it was something major. About 5 o'clock, he all of a sudden just woke up. Like, fine. And about an hour later, he crashed. And he crashed hard. What happened? His appendix blew. No, we didn't know it.
Yeah.
We thought, praise God, he's healing up.
Right.
No, within an hour, within 2 hours, within 3 hours, it's like, whoa, he's going to die.
Right.
And so we called the family that we knew and said, hey, can you watch our kids? Because it was about 11 o'clock at night by this time. Can you come stay at our house? I mean, I hope this family is good. Can you come watch our kids so we can get our kid to a hospital? And they come over, and we're going to drive an hour and a half away because it was an Americanized hospital right off the side of this highway. On your way to Costco. It's the only thing we knew. We went to Costco once, so we saw that hospital. Okay, there's a hospital. So we were going to drive down there, and they're like, why don't you take him to the hospital here? Oh, there's a hospital here? Sure, I guess. I don't know. Is the doctor good? Is it okay? And she's like, well, yeah, he's good. So we brought him up to that doctor, bring him to his house. It's a different doctor, and he's like, he needs operated now.
Yeah.
He's going to die
right
before you get to Vallarta. And it's like, what do we do? And he said, well, there just happens to be a surgeon in the hospital. He's from Tepic, which is 2 hours away. He's just finishing up a surgery right now. And he's a very good surgeon. Just happens to be at this hospital. Are you with me here? We're like, and we just look at each other, and we look at the Mexicans, and it's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing. My son's going to die. And it's like, well, I guess let's go to the hospital and talk to the surgeon, you know? So we go to this hospital, and we walk in. I'm like, this is not a surgeon. This is a $40 motel from Central California.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, man? This is not a sanitary hospital.
Yeah.
And we go in, we talk to this guy, and it's like, yeah, we need to open him up.
Yes.
And it's like, open him up where? And we're standing there, and I'm like, can I pray for a second? Well, you better be quick. And I looked at my wife, and in English, right in front of her, we started praying, and I just said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. And so if this is right, I just ask for the peace of God.
Amen.
Thank you for working in our lives. And I'm not kidding, guys. This is not hocus pocus. From the head of the top of my head down to my feet, man, just... Me and my wife both at that same time, we're holding hands and we just ask God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding, because we have no idea what we're doing. And if this is not right, get us out of here. And I'm telling you, boom, right there.
Amen.
And we said, in Jesus Christ, amen. And I looked up at my wife and she was smiling just like I was smiling. It's like, okay, take him back. And they literally kind of open up like these windows and kind of pass them through. And he's just right there. And it's like, oh, wow. I have no, this is crazy. This is how they operate here. And so we went over and we just took 3-4 steps over to a bench and we sat down. And I'm not kidding, guys. We were sitting there telling jokes and laughing as they're doing a life-saving surgery on our son right behind us.
Right.
The peace of God
that
passeth all understanding.
That's right.
Do you believe the word of God?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe these promises that God has given us? I mean, I could go testimony after testimony after testimony of things that God has shown us. And it's a matter, do you believe? Now, there's promises here, but there's also sometimes where God speaks to you specifically using a verse or a passage or a chapter. And I'm not trying to overstep into charismatic junk and reading into, you know, whatever. No, God speaks to you through this live word.
Does.
It's not just quick.
Yes,
I mean, it's alive. It's powerful.
Yes.
Right? Look with me back here in Psalms. I'll give you one more. Just thinking about this one. This is a very recent one. My wife, you know, as I've told you guys multiple times, you know, down there, here she is having these episodes. I don't know what to even call them. Once the seizures, but it's like seizures, and her body is basically doubling over and half backwards almost, and not being able to breathe and passing out. And there's no way to control these. They gave us these horse tranquilizers, essentially, along with these neurological drugs, to basically put her in a coma. That's essentially, that's all they wanted us to do, because they didn't know what to do. And she's laying in the bed, attack after attack after attack, day after day after day. And I just hit that floor, and I'm just praying, I'm fasting, I'm not doing anything, I'm not even leaving that room. And I'm just, okay, what do I do? I don't know what to do. But I trust you. If you're going to take my wife, you're going to take my wife. Would you spare? Would you spare?
Yes.
You don't have to. It'd only be in your mercy and grace.
That's right.
We don't deserve it. There's nothing we've done that's that great.
Good for you.
We don't deserve your attention.
Come on, go ahead.
But I ask you to save her so we can serve together. So we can do this, to complete this vision you've given us.
Amen.
Together for you. And you know what? I started reading, because that's all I did. Laying on the ground praying and then reading. And I came across a lot of verses, man. I tell you, in a week's time, the Lord really moved. And in this chapter, Psalms 33, did I give you guys that? Sorry. Psalms 33. I'm sitting there one morning after I don't know how many days. And probably 3 or 4 days. And I came across this, and it says here in Psalms 33, verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Warriors depend on great horses for battle, for cavalry back in those days. It's a vain thing. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Amen.
Amen.
To deliver their soul from death.
That's right.
He is our help, and to keep them alive in famine. And I'm telling you, right there, in that moment, God said, I'm going to heal your wife.
Praise the Lord.
She's not going to die.
Glory to God.
And I'm like, oh, God. My hope is in you. It's the only thing I have. Money won't do it. Ability won't do it. Doctors won't do it. Nothing's going to do it, God. It's going to be you. We don't even know. Nobody knows what's going on. It's going to be you. And so I just continue on reading. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. And I'm telling you, right in that moment, God said, I got you. Keep your hope in me. Oh, it's in you, God. And I mean this week, because I read the Psalms a day, this week right here is where God just boom, 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 boom. It started on a Saturday morning, and within, I don't know, 10 days we were here in that trailer with our doctor right there. Amazing. Amazing everything he did in the train. And I skip forward, you know, because I'm reading a chapter every day. You go up here to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. And it says here in verse 1. Oh, woo! And just looking back at what God is doing and looking forward. Wow, okay, God's doing something here. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Yes,
he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going.
Yes.
He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Oh, Lord God, you are so amazing. This is why it is so important that you are in this thing daily.
Amen.
Not every other day, not every once in a while, not on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
Every day you get up and just read one chapter, guys.
Right.
It is alive.
Yeah.
It works effectually in your cortisol, your heart. Sorry, that's me. I'm getting ready to get down there. In your heart, it will do something for you.
Yes. Sure.
And you put your hope in it.
Right.
And you believe it.
Yeah.
And you watch God work in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, amen, guys. You got to get in this thing.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you honestly believe it?
Good.
God's going to put a time in your life. He's going to find out.
Right.
A lot of times we say, oh, amen, I'm in. Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, and then what happens?
That's right.
Amen, are we in or are we in?
Go ahead.
Go over to Mark chapter 5. I better continue on. I don't even know how long I've been standing here. Sorry. I better. I want to help you guys. I just want to draw you to the Lord because he is so good, guys.
Yes.
There's so... God, can I tell you something? God is calling you. I don't know if you realize it. Maybe you don't. It's a Sunday night crowd, but hopefully so. God is calling you.
Bless him.
Individually and as a church.
Yes.
And you got this man here leading you.
Yes, hallelujah.
And God wants something.
Yes.
And it's not bad.
Right.
And he doesn't want to abuse you and just use and abuse. No, 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 no.
Amen.
He wants to glorify himself.
Yes, glory to God.
Through you.
Amen.
And if you don't learn to trust him, if you don't learn to put your faith in his word, you're never going to get to this point right here.
That's right.
God wants you. It says here in Mark chapter 5, so here's Jesus walking along, and it says in verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse.
Right.
When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.
Yes.
And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes?
Yes.
Who touched my clothes?
That's right.
And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to step out.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. God wants you to step out, guys.
Right.
You need to step out.
Right.
And I'll explain this a little bit, but listen, this lady here gives us a good example. There's many of you in here that trust God. She trusted God. It says here in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. Man, she heard of Jesus and she heard what he could do.
Right.
She trusted that he could change her
Amen.
Life. She went to where he was.
Yes, sir.
Amen, guys.
Yes, sir. Right.
There's many in here that trust. There's some that have faith.
Come on.
Some.
Right.
It always steps down a little bit.
Yep.
Even on a Sunday night crowd.
Right.
This lady here, she had faith. Look with me in verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And Jesus confirms this in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. She had faith in him.
Right.
She had faith in his word. She had faith in God.
Right.
And there's some that have faith. And now it's time to step out.
It's good.
Very few will step out.
Yes, sir.
For that the laborers are few. God, first of all, God wants you to step out from your sin. He wants you to step out of this world. He wants you to step out of the junk that you're surrounded in.
Right.
I mean, it go all the way back to the beginning, guys. In the very beginning, what did God do? What did God say to the very first man who messed up? Adam, where art thou?
That's right.
Where art thou?
Right.
Now, Jesus Christ, God, is omniscient. If you don't know what that word means, he knows everything. I mean, he knows everything. He knows where Adam was.
Right.
He knows who touched
yes,
him.
Sir.
He knows the amount of hairs that was on that poor
That's
little
right.
lady's head
yes,
before she even came to the
That's
town
right.
to touch his garment.
Yes, sir.
She knew, or he knew who she was.
Right.
He wants you to step out.
Yes, sir.
He knows
That's
who
good.
You are.
That's good.
He wants you to step out from your sin. He wants you to step out from the junk. He wants
go.
You to step out of this world. He wants you to step forward and move forward with your Christian walk.
Amen.
Stop being dredged down with all the sludge that you're putting in your homes and your work life and
yes,
your
sir.
And your personal life.
Amen.
Get out of it. Step up. Step in. Get in.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not only that, God wants you to step out of your comfort zone.
Amen.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah, this lady had to leave all those positions. She had to leave everything that we, on a human scale, on a human mindset, know what would heal us and step out of that comfort zone to walk over to where Jesus was to get some healing.
Good.
If you're gonna allow God to do something
yep.
in your life, and God wants you to do something in your life, there's so many opportunities in a church like this to do something,
right.
to plug in.
Yes.
A lot of times we just don't want to step out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
That comfort, that convenience. You need to look up to a word search on convenience in the Bible. A convenient time.
Good.
Nothing gets done if you wait for a convenient time. But,
right.
well, I mean, I don't talk that good. I don't know. I'm kind of shy. Well, I got a blabber mouth, but I don't have much ability. Well, I don't know. I'll mess up, and then they'll make fun of me. I'll say the wrong thing. You know, that's why a lot of teens don't want to step up and
You're
do
right.
anything for God.
Right.
Scared of the other teens making fun of them. That's why a lot of adults don't want to step up.
Right.
They're too comfortable.
That's
you
got
to step out of your comfort zone.
Amen.
And I remember when God first called me to get in and start teaching kids. I had come out of a wicked life, guys, out of the army, and I wasn't saved until I was 23. I passed all of that junk. And so... And I also grew up in Washington State where you don't have the Bible Belt. You don't have a Baptist church on every street corner. You got a Baptist church about every 100 miles.
Right.
And I did not know anything. I mean, I remember hearing things of like Noah's Ark because you see pictures or whatever. I didn't know Jesus Christ, guys. I didn't know what he did.
Right.
I'm being sincere. I did not know what Jesus Christ did. I didn't know that he was the Son of God.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there like that. And so anyways, when I got saved and then we started growing and then God got us in with the kids ministry, man, these kids grew up with Bible stories. They knew I had just learned about the rainbow. I didn't know that God created the rainbow and why he did. And you want me to teach these kids? They know 50 times more than me. What are you talking about? Yes, I want you to do that. Because you're going to learn. You're going to grow.
Amen.
God wants you to do something.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Are you sitting back?
That's good, brother.
Waiting for somebody else to do it.
That's good. Right. Amen. Right.
God called us to be missionaries, and the very first thing that came out of my mouth to the Lord anyway was exactly what Moses had said. I'm not capable.
That's right.
I can't do that. I can't talk to those people. I don't know Spanish. I can't leave my job. I mean, I got to raise my family. All the excuses will come up, but you know what? You need to start trusting in him. God wants you to trust in him.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Don't sit back and be a lazy Christian. Don't sit back and be a comfortable Christian.
Amen.
Don't sit back and ride those pews, just as Pastor was talking about this morning. All your life, trust in him.
Amen.
God wants you to have faith in him.
Yes, sir.
And God wants you to step out.
Right.
Can I tell you something? It's time to step out, church.
Amen.
It's time to step out for Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Thank you. Brother Adam, thank you. Let's all stand together. Well, what a powerful message.
Yes, sir.
It is easy to talk about having faith, trusting God, believing the Word, but we're always tested with it. And usually that comes by trials. And so God's the same in your trial as he is in the good times. If God's good, he's good all the time. Now, the question is, what will you do with it? I jotted down as he was preaching his outline. Trust God's wisdom. Believe God's word. Patience in God's waiting. God wants to do something with you. You say, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. But you're something. You're something. And you don't know what God wants to do with you. But you got to step out. Launch out into the deep. Yeah, but I'm uncomfortable with that. You never know what you're capable of until you get out of that comfort zone. And so the message tonight, I want to do this. Bow your heads. Hannah's going to play. You don't have to have it all figured out. Okay? Don't have to have it all figured out. Don't have to know the end destination. Just got to be willing to trust his wisdom, believe his word, be patient in the waiting. That's hard. That's not easy. But that's how you go to the next level. That's how you find God's will for your life. And it's not going to make sense. Doesn't add up. Humanly speaking, it doesn't add up. But one day you'll look back. You'll see God's hand. You see how he orchestrates things. You say, if he'll just show me, well, then it wouldn't be faith, would it? We walk by faith, not by sight. You don't have to know the plan. You just need to know the planner. Right? I mean, you don't have to know the plan. Just got to know the one who's doing the plan. Let me say this. I was thinking while he was preaching. I was studying about John the Baptist this afternoon. How to deal with doubt. There's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is taking God's word and taking my present circumstance and not understanding how God's word applies to my present circumstance. Unbelief is severing my heart from God. That's different. And so we don't get to the place where we feel like we can't trust God. Or, as he said, well, I'm not Moses. I'm not a preacher. I'm not. And so we'll go through trials in life. We'll start doubting, get discouraged. And Brother Shane, we want everything to always be on the upward, right? There has to be some setbacks in life. Has to be. You say, how can you say that? Well, I look at John the Baptist, who Jesus said, men born to women, there's none greater prophet than John the Baptist. He went to prison. I look at Jesus. Everything didn't go exactly. It went according to his plan, but it wasn't always smooth. I look at Paul, and he mentioned Paul. He went to prison, persecuted, thorn in the flesh. Even the churches he started, there was corruption. He had to continually go back, set things in order. Right? And you don't have to know all the plan. You just need to know God. And we've got to be real careful when we get discouraged because things are not adding up. That we don't move too fast. God's worthy to be trusted. But Shane, I was thinking when he was mentioning their situation in California. He's mentioned eating them dollar hamburgers. I think, man, remember when we took church, I'd have given my right arm for a dollar hamburger. We had Lance crackers for supper. We'd stop by the little gas station on the way home from church. And that'd be our supper. Same situation. Loved their church. Good job. There's a little church on the side of the road, and somebody said, you ought to go preach down there and fill in for them. And we did. We just didn't have any better sense than to believe God and trust Him. You know, there's something really unique about ignorance. Sometimes before you get too educated, just dumb enough to believe what the Bible says. Brother Jerry, I look back over 22 years and I see some of the trials we've gone through. Well, there's been times I've said, God, I'm done. I'm done. Obviously, this is something I've done wrong and you're chastising me or the church is going through this. But I sit there tonight. I thought about my son. Brother Adam, if I'd have got out of the will of God, I may not have that daughter-in-law. I thought about my daughter. If I'd have got out of the will of God, I might not have that son-in-law.
That's right.
See, when you start getting to where you are getting a little antsy with what you don't understand what God's doing, and you start making all these moves because you don't think God's moving fast enough, you don't know how that affects everybody else.
That's right.
Some of you, I'm not saying God wouldn't have done it. Brother Tim, God could have saved you any time, but I know this. I preached the funeral you got saved at. If I wasn't here. See, you don't know what God wants to do in your life that will impact other people. We get so caught up in what I want, and it doesn't make sense to me, and I have my life planned out. Better learn to just trust God.
Amen.
Trust His wisdom. Believe His word.
Amen.
Patient in the waiting. Tremendous message, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to miss them. We're going to do this. We're going to close. I know we went a little longer than normal, but that's a good message. That's worth it. When you're eating good, you just sit back and enjoy. So, Brother Adam, you and the kids go out. I want y'all to shake their hands on the way out. I want the ushers to come. We're going to receive a love offering tonight for them, help them with some of their expenses on the way. And I appreciate them. They've been a help to our church. And I appreciate y'all. Appreciate our young people. Good service tonight. Thank you, young people. And I'm glad it's under the blood. Hallelujah. So let's do this. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. And remember, Senior Saints lunch on Tuesday. If you've not signed up, make sure you do that. And make sure you get your new move-in neighborhoods done. Get that done. We got next month, Mother's Day coming up, Memorial Day coming up. And from then on, it's going to be